All right, as mentioned, we are continuing our study in the book of Psalms. You know, over this past week, I've been thinking quite a bit about how Psalms is relevant today. It's almost a question, is it relevant today? The answer is definitely yes. I'm hearing some people say yes over here. I was meditating on it, using a word that Ray likes to use. I learned from him, pondering. You know, spend some time pondering the book of Psalms. You know, we've covered a few things so far in the book of Psalms. Psalm 52, we heard from David as he was dealing with some wicked men who were causing death among his people, caused the death of a lot of priests at that time. We read in Psalm 53 where David was dealing with wicked people who didn't even acknowledge that there was a God. Very different position at that time. Psalm 54, when he had his own countrymen, those from the tribe of Judah who were telling Saul where he was, where David was, so he could be captured. Psalm 55, that's when David had a friend, or at least somebody who was close to him, who is betraying him. Those are really difficult things, things that we deal with today. Psalm 56 and 57 today, we're going to learn about David, and he's got his life in danger. And he's going through a lot of trials, and he's experiencing some fear. But there's something that was a constant theme among every one of these psalms that we've studied so far. David always reached out to the Lord, always tried to seek protection from the Lord. He didn't try to handle those situations on his own all the time. But he always went to the Lord. What is that? What character trait or what is that within David that compelled him to do that? Well, it was faith. Faith in God. Faith that God would intercede. Faith that the Lord would protect him. That he would forgive his sins as what was in Psalm 51. You can see how David was faithful. And that is a really important lesson that we need to take out of when we're going through the book of Psalms. What is faith? Jerry just quoted a verse. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Jerry gave the right answer. Using scripture to answer that question is the right thing to do. We're just going to read it, and Jerry quoted it just a second ago. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, David hoped for protection. He hoped for forgiveness. He hoped for spiritual cleansing, a new heart. But it was more than this. He had a confident expectation. He had an assurance. He had a conviction that the Lord was going to do these things for him. Hadn't happened yet, but he knew the Lord would. Eric. We are going to get there. Eric's ahead of me. Verse 6 is definitely relevant to this discussion. Yes, we'll get there. But what did this type of faith that David had bring him? Look at verse 2. For by it, faith, the men of old gain approval. So the faith that he was showing the Lord, what did that gain him? Approval from God. That's something that we need to remember. And one of the important lessons, one of the many important lessons that we get from Psalms. Now, think about this. We're not going to read it because of time. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 3 through 34 is a listing of folks in the Old Testament, people in the Old Testament who gained their approval through faith. I'm just going to read through a couple of the names. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. And we studied a lot of these through when Kerry was teaching us in the book of Genesis throughout the last few months. These were all examples of people in the Old Testament who demonstrated their faith, how they gained approval from God. But let's read verses 32 through 34. What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, who we're studying, of Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. We know David escaped the sword many times from Saul, escaped him quite a bit. We know that David became mighty in war. He was able to make armies flee or to conquer them. This was all done through faith that he had in God. I encourage you to take a look at Hebrews. Just while I was pondering the book of Psalms, this scripture came to mind. And it's really neat to see those examples in the Old Testament. Now let's end in verse 6. This is the one that Eric mentioned just a minute ago. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Is that what David did? We see it over and over. He's attacked. He's pursued by a ruler, King Saul, a ruler who he was serving. He had his own countrymen tell Saul where he was. He saw people that he knew betray him, but he always went back to the Lord. We need to remember that and know that no matter what happens to us, because we deal with some of these same situations, maybe not from a physical perspective, we're not pursued physically like this to this degree, but we deal with a lot of turmoil because a lot of the world's characteristics, a lot of what the world expects out of population nowadays does not match what's in Scripture. We need to put faith in the Lord, learn from looking at His Word. I just thought it was a neat way to look at this and how to connect the book of Psalms to what we can apply today. So again, I'm going to ask the question where we started. Is Psalms relevant today? Absolutely is. It's worth studying. And you're going to see throughout this summer series, we're going to see David always list a problem or come to the Lord and voice a problem that he's got. You're going to see David voice his faith through the writings. He's going to always then go back to acknowledge that these things happen because the Lord and he wants to worship him. We're going to see that in Psalm 56 and 57. So turn to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. You might see in the heading that this psalm was written whenever David was seized by the Philistines in Gath. If you want to read about this account, we're not going to go through it today. I'll give you a summary of what happened. But that account took place in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 15. And give you the short story behind this. David was again fleeing from Saul, something that he found himself in a position constantly, it seems like. And David found himself in front of a Philistine ruler, the Achish, the king of Gath. And one of the king's servants recognized David and said in verse 11, I will read that, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this as they danced, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? You've heard that quote quite a bit. It's one of the first things you think of when you think of David is that quote. But he was afraid about what the king would do to him because of what he's done. So he started acting insanely, you know, so much so that the king dismissed him as a madman. And then Paul departed, and he was able to escape the grasp of the king at that point in time. Something that was really interesting, and I always find fascinating, if you want to read, write these down for your own studies, 1 Samuel chapter 27, 1 Samuel chapter 28, 29, you're going to hear about this king and David's relationship. It's kind of fascinating just to see how the Lord worked this out. And I think that, the Lord worked that out because of the faith that David had in the Lord. But not going to go into that at this point in time in the class. So let's look at Psalm 56, verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2 is an appeal to God, where David is asking for help. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for they are many who fight proudly against me. David's asking for the Lord to be gracious to him, to have mercy on him. Man is trampling him. You almost think of people are just running over him, is the image that I get in my mind. He's being treated unjustly. You know, he's serving the Lord. He's actually serving the King Saul, but Saul keeps trying to pursue him. He's being treated unjustly. And the last sentence of verse 2, for they are many who fight proudly against me. We know that Saul had a big army and was pursuing him. That's how he got into capture by the king of Gath at that point in time. But I found it interesting, proudly against me, fought proudly against me. That's not necessarily a sense of pride that we're after David. That's almost a sense of false security in the position that they have. You know, Saul had thousands of men after David. David had hundreds of men with him, but they were outnumbered. Saul had a lot more resources than David did at this point in time. Saul's enemies were putting their trust in their position, the position that they could capture David. Where did David put his trust? In God. Look at verse 3 and 4. Answers that question. When I am afraid, I'll put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? You know, fear can be a powerful emotion. Not all fear is the same. You know, one of my daughters likes to use the term jump scare. You know, that's if you're startled. You have that sense where you just jump. That's not what we're talking about here. He's afraid. He's scared. It's more of a weight that he's carrying, anticipation of what would happen to him if he's captured. At this point in time, what's going to happen to him by the king of Gath while he's in their hands? That's what he's afraid of. You know, is fear in itself sinful? It's an emotion we hear and feel every day. It's not sinful. But how you react to it certainly can be. And when we see David in this case, he's putting his trust in the Lord. Something that's interesting here is when you read the beginning, I am afraid. I will put my trust in you. He's acknowledging his fear and he's putting his trust in God. In God, whose word I praise. He's going to praise God. In God, I have put my trust. He says it again. I'm trusting you. and because of this, I shall not be afraid. So it's a complicated weaving of words saying, I know I'm afraid, but I trust in you. I trust you're going to protect me. Because of this, I'm no longer afraid. And he ends with, what can mere man do to me? That's kind of the final conclusion he's coming up with here. Because once we realize today that we are in Christ, what can men do to us? There'll be times where it's difficult and we might be afraid of what the world may do to us. But if we're punished and we're doing God's will, that's going to be pleasing to God. If our life is taken, Jim covered this last week a little bit. What happens if we're in Christ? We'll be better off. We'll be with God. And that's what David is saying when you're looking at verse 4. What can mere man do to me? Look at verse 5 and 6. All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited to take my life. This imagery really sinks in with me. It might resonate with you too. You get the sense that David is constantly on guard. This is probably where some of his fear is, because his enemies are lurking. They're waiting for the right opportunity to attack. It's almost like when you think of lions or a predator that's hunting, waiting for their prey. They're waiting for them to slip up at that time that they can attack. But also look at distort my words. How easy is it for you to misspeak? Happens to me all the time. I'm sure it happens to you too. But sometimes your words are distorted, and that can be hurtful. You know, what you say may have been taken out of context, and we need to be cautious about this. But David is voicing here that, look, they're even distorting my words. They're using my words against me. They're looking for the right opportunity to take me down. It's a slang way of saying it. You know, Jesus dealt with this too. Jesus came to this earth. He was surrounded by people who were constantly on trying to attack him, used his words against him. His life was in danger. But today, who do we have to look at? There's one person or one being that's really good at these things. Lurking, listening to our words, waiting for us to attack. What being is that? Satan. The devil. The devil is very good at this. And this is where I think we can relate to this verse to a high degree, is because the devil is doing the same thing to you and I every day. And we need to be on guard. Look at verse 7. Because of wickedness, cast them forth in anger, put down the peoples, O God. And essentially, David is just asking for protection against the people who are going to be looking to do evil deeds toward him. And we're not going to spend a lot of time in this verse, but look at verse 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9, there's an appeal to God to take note of the troubles that David is dealing with. Verse 8. You have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. Verses 8 and 9 should give us a lot of comfort. The Lord, in this case, you have taken account of my wanderings. He's taken note of. He's written it down. What does wanderings mean in this context? Any thoughts? Wanderings in this context is the unsettled nature that somebody has sorrow that they might be feeling, some of the miseries they may be encountering both physical and spiritually. And David is saying, look, you're taking account of when I'm in misery. Look at the next section here. Put my tears in your bottle. This is kind of a wonderful thought. When somebody cries, God's putting it in a bottle. He again is remembering, taking note of what's happening to you, taking note of the position that you're in, the misery you might be feeling. Are they not in your book? Again, the sense of taking account and accounting of, taking note of, God knows this. Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. We know that the Lord is going to be for us. We know the Lord is going to be taking account of things that are troubles in our lives. You know, it goes back to prayer sometimes. You know, we offered a prayer just a minute ago. Do you think the Lord didn't know any of the people that I mentioned and the troubles that they're dealing with? Do you think the Lord knows when you have troubles that you're dealing with? He does. David recognized that in Psalms. But why do we go to God in prayer? You ever thought about that? It's voicing to God to say, you're in control. We know that you can take care of everything that we deal with in our lives. We praise you. We worship you. And in the book of Psalms, a lot of these are prayers. We began the whole course or study looking at how Psalms helps us to pray. You can see how David is making this prayer and the way he's approaching this at this point in time, recognizing, God, you already know what I'm going to ask for, but I'm going to ask for it anyway. I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you me. I want to commune with you. Yes. Yeah, it's a good point. You know, the thought was the appreciation of how David wrote these things and how he does go to God and how he is voicing his concerns, knowing that God is going to hear him. Good point. All right, anything else before we move on? Eric. Yeah, Eric is saying that, you know, God knows what we need. He's for us. He's going to take care of his people. We can place comfort in that knowledge. All right, next verse. Look at verse 10 and 11. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I've put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? He was repeating that again. What can man do to me? He's putting his trust in the Lord. As Eric mentioned, that's going to bring about praise, knowing that he's going to protect you. And you notice that every single one of these Psalms have gone through so far, David ends every single one of these in praise. Praising God for something that hasn't even happened yet. He knows that God is going to deliver him. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. In verse 12, again, David is just, he's using the words as if this prayer has already been answered. Keep him from stumbling. He's delivered my soul from death. And I feel like I'm repeating myself, but it always goes back to trusting God. David putting faith in God. That's how David is acceptable to God, is through this faith. And there's a lot of things that we can learn from David as he's writing the book of Psalms. So anything else on Psalm 56? We've got about 10 minutes for 57. Probably not going to get through it. Maybe we will. But any last comments on 56? Yes. Yeah, Mark, you're right. You know, the comment was essentially that, you know, we can sometimes forget that the Lord is with us in difficult situations. We can be afraid and fearful, and we always have to go back to God. That's what David did here while he was being captured, and he said, God, you're going to work this out for me. So all good points. Thank you. All right, let's move to Psalm 57. Psalm 57, this was written at the time where David was actually fleeing from Saul and found himself hiding in a cave. That happened actually two times. One of them was in 1 Samuel chapter 22. The other one is in 1 Samuel chapter 24. I'm not going to go through all these accounts today. Just don't have the time. But looking at Psalm 24, that seems to be what fits best, I think, from my perspective. That's my opinion. So if you can find a more definitive answer, please share or study with me afterward. But I think that chapter 24 fits better in this case. This is when Saul had 3,000 of his men pursuing David. We've heard this before. This is not an uncommon stance or position David was in. But David flee, and he was hiding in the recesses of a cave. Saul came into the cave, the same cave where David was hiding at, and David found Saul in a vulnerable position and actually cut the corner of his robe off. You probably remember this from studying before as well. That's where this happened. And he could have taken Saul's life. You know, David was such... had so much integrity. He actually felt guilty. It got to his conscience that he cut the robe of Saul at that point in time, which I found interesting. A man who was pursuing him, and you know, he said essentially, "I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to take Saul's life. That's not in for me to do." And that David actually did that again, if you're reading 1 Samuel. It happened a second time as well. But David essentially then came out of the cave. Saul had already left the cave, confronted Saul, and said, look, I could have taken your life, but I didn't. And how did Saul react? And I am going to read this real quick. This is from 1 Samuel 24, verse 16. When David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? Then Saul lifted up his voice and wept and said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me while I have dealt wickedly with you. You have declared today that you have done good to me, that the Lord delivered me into your hands, and yet you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him go away safely? May the Lord therefore reward you with good in return for what you have done to me this day. You know, this is coming from a man that was pretty wicked at this point in time. The Lord had definitely left Saul. Saul was was going after David, and Saul had ill intention toward David. David didn't take his life, but Saul recognized it, and he asked for the Lord to bless David, which I found a little amusing. And then they separated. Did it ever prevent Saul from going after him again? No, it didn't. But it did protect David that day, and he was able to escape. So as we look at Psalm 57, this is what was leading up to David writing the book of Psalm 57. So look at verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God. Be gracious to me. For my soul takes refuge in you. And in the sorrow and in the shadow of your wings, I will take refuge until destruction passes by. Now, there's a lot of imagery in verse 1. And verse 1 actually starts off almost the same as the psalm we just looked at. David's reaching out, asking for the Lord to be gracious to him. He's asking for the Lord to show mercy. He's saying it twice in this particular instance. He's showing the power of God. He's saying, all I need to be is in the shadow of your presence, and I'll be protected. I'll be protected throughout whatever destruction is headed my way. I'll be protected until this passes. Comes back to faith again, doesn't it? That's why I kept thinking about faith this week. It comes up over and over and over when you look at the book of Psalm. Look at verse 2. I will cry to God Most High, to God who accomplishes all things for me. God Most High. It's another way of David acknowledging God's supremacy, that God reigns. He's got sovereignty over everything that's on the earth or in heaven. He's in control of everything that happens today. We can put comfort in that. You know, there's a lot of things going on. We've got the floods in Texas that was mentioned. There are things happening all around the world right now. There's battles happening all over the place. But the Lord will protect us. He's the one that we need to go to in these times. Gail. Absolutely. And what was that, Matthew 10:28? Okay. Matthew 10:28. You know, it's saying that we don't need to be worried about those who can affect the body. We need to be worried about God who can affect our body and our soul, specifically our soul. We need to make sure that our soul stays clean, that we need to remember we are in Christ, and we need to behave that way. And that protects us from hell, which is mentioned in Matthew 10:28. Good point. Okay, look at verse 3. He will send from heaven and save me. He reproaches him who tramples upon me. God will send forth his loving kindness and his truth. What's this coming back to again? Say it over and over. Faith. David is expressing a confident expectation that he's going to be protected. People are trampling upon me. He's saying that God is faithful as well. He's true to his people. He'll protect them. Look at verse 4. My soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Now, this imagery is similar to what we just covered in Psalm 56 about the lurking, about seeking a time to attack, finding when somebody is vulnerable. David is saying this again with different words in verse 4. And again, we face situations where we are among lions, as David puts it in verse 4. Goes back to what Gail said. We shouldn't be worried about man who can just affect our external being. We need to worry about God. Look at verse 5. Be exalted above the heavens, O God. Let your glory be above all the earth. We're going to look at that in a little bit more detail in verse 11, because you'll see it repeated word for word in verse 11. So, well, we're not going to get there today. We'll get there next time. So thank you for your attention. Thank you.